Australia.
I was born bold.
Pivot, protect. Whatever your next move, choose Judo Bank. Essendon, Havel and Great Wall, sticking together with all of Melbourne.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Very good to have you with us on this 11th day of August. The Diesel, Greg Williams, the second best player I've ever seen play the game, is going to join us. Jessica Halloran, introducing Jess, going to be a regular, writes for The Australian, just a very, very good operator. And looking forward to having her contribute to our program and your calls and text messages. Live NBA at the moment, the Suns and the Thunder. In the fourth quarter, Suns 125, Thunder 99, and the Jazz and the Mavericks are in the fourth quarter. Jazz 100, the Mavs are 88. Last night, let's get stuck into it, a doubleheader. We had Geelong taking on St Kilda, followed by Frio and Hawthorne, and Geelong have belted St Kilda. 17 points at halftime, they end up blowing them out of the water. 59 points was the margin. Tommy Hawkins got 5. Gary Rowan kicked 4. Manigola was outstanding. Saints just couldn't handle the heat. It was a disappointing night for them. And then straight up, the Fremantle Footy Club continue their impressive resurgence, I call it, with the number of players out against what was clearly a disappointing Hawthorn and just kicked 4 goals. Frio by 16 points. And the young stars, it allows Nathan Fife to get outside that centre square when Brayshaw and Chera and Sarong and others get the job done. Luke Ryan in the back half having a great year. So there's your quick summation, Wispy. But you can join us, 1-300-736-736. You can add your two Bobsworth. What do you make of it all?
Well, that's right. You can anytime you like. What did you notice last night about St Kilda? Were you disappointed with your Saints last night? Because I think there are a lot of people out there that have jumped on board the St Kilda bandwagon believing that they were going to be able to match it with Geelong last night, but they weren't able to do that. Geelong denied them of the ball, Gary. It's silly to talk about the pressure that wasn't applied by St Kilda because they didn't get a chance to apply any pressure. The ball was controlled by Geelong and they weren't able to get into their faces at all. I want to touch on this though, because there's still, if you look at Geelong and the narrative around them has been, even this year, no ruckman, no power in the ruck. Okay, so Stanley goes into the ruck last night, and then how were they using blitz halves after that?
Well, it was more a broader discussion on how they use their wingers, and I think it's a really interesting part of it. They rotated. These are the players I counted going through the wing: Tui, Stewart, Duncan, blitz halves, and Menegola, all at different times played through the wing. So they take, when blitz halves took his spot there, then he would start on the wing and essentially push in and allow Stanley to go hard forward if that's where he wanted to go, and then Duncan would roll out and take the wing position. But what they do really well, particularly against St Kilda, is that those wingers' job is to get back and support and outnumber the St Kilda forwards. And Sam Menegola did it better than anyone. He had more intercept marks in the back half than any of their defenders. And then he would push forward and he had more score involvements than anyone else. So that gives you an indication of how good Menegola was last night. So from that, I think their wings have become something that Port Adelaide will go to work on, because Tui is the other one, whispered. They played up on the wing. And so you've got two big body wingmen who...
They're powerful, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they come out of defence. You were happy to go to Menegola on Billings in the air last night, and Tui on the other side. So, yeah, it was an interesting way that they went about it. I liked it. It worked for them. They got hurt. Phillips kicked those two goals in the start of the first quarter because Duncan was on the wing at that stage, and he twice in a row pushed back to try and help the defenders and left Phillips on his own, and Phillips kicked the two goals. I think he was banished after that, Mitch Duncan, and that's when Menegola went back out there. But, no, they did that really, really well. And tactically, I thought it was a big win for Chris Scott last night. And the thing we underestimate with Geelong, I think, Wisp, as much as anything else, is how much pressure they bring to the opposition.
They're a powerful side. Hey, just, I'll just stay with Gary Rowan. He's been a much maligned player, but he was on last night.
I think that was as good a game as I've seen him play last night. So his pressure he brings, his heat, he's closing down, his speed, I think it worries opposition defences. He's hit the scoreboard, he's kicked 4 goals, and he complements that forward group really well. So I think he's been a bit maligned over the journey, but God, he was good last night. He was fantastic last night. So you got him and you've got Tommy Hawkins, and then Myers and Close and Atkins and Parfitt at their feet, just working really hard. So, but that's always been my query. Not always, but the question is whether or not they can kick enough goals in finals when they go forward. Now, this year's a bit different because, you know, what used to be 13 or 14 now is probably 10 or 11. But if they can, and Tommy Hawkins is in good enough form, but can his support cast of Rowan, Myers, Close, Atkins, whoever it is, whatever combination they got, are they going to be able to kick enough goals in the finals? That's the question you've got to answer. Danger okay, is the other one.
I'll ask you this question then, because Gary Ablett's not in the hub at the moment, okay? And there's a story in the Herald Sun this morning about the decision that he faces, and he's got to get in there sort of in about a fortnight's time to be able to then go through quarantine and all that type of thing, maybe get a couple of games at the end of the season in preparation for the finals. So at the moment, he's not playing. Dalhouse is not playing. Do those two players automatically come into this side that's performing so well?
Gary does, for sure. Dalhouse, well, that's just he's not throwing Myers out of that side, who's been probably their best small forward. So Dalhouse is competing with Atkins and Close, I suppose. So then it would be a form thing, I reckon. But they look really good. Really well coached, Tim. Really well coached. So Friday will be fascinating because they're going to play against a side that like to take the game on, and they and Geelong like to dictate how the game's played with the ball in their hands, whether they go slow or whether they take it on. And it'll be fantastic to watch them up against, you know, the benchmark, who are Port Adelaide at the moment. What about the Saints?
I was going to ask you about the Saints. No, it's not a disaster. Going into this game, this was going to be like a stress test for them.
You said that yesterday, spot on the money.
When you play against a really good team, though, that's when you get to test yourself. And Geelong are in really good form at the moment, and they are a good defensive team. All the things that you've already spoken about in terms of the pressure that they apply around the ball, they deny you the ball, they play at the speed that they want to, but you've got to be able to force them to play at another speed and take the challenge up to them, which they weren't able to do. You know what? They looked small and fragile against the bigger bodies of Geelong last night too. They just didn't seem to have, and they are a developing team. They've got a lot of young players that they're still playing in that team. So we've just got to cut them some slack in that area. But that was a measurement. They were measured last night against one of the best teams in the competition. They came up a long way short. It's not a disaster. It's not the end of the year for them. You can improve. But I think it also indicated how far they've got to go to bridge that gap.
Yeah, and it might be timely, as we said, because they got a really nice sharp reality check against Freo when they gave up that 6 or 7 goal lead. Remember, they said they've used that to drive their success, you know, since that time, and they will now have to use this to drive, you know, any success they have going forward. They didn't score a goal in the second half, and this is the number one attacking team in the comp. So that speaks volumes for Geelong and Chris Scott and how he prepared. And, you know, we talk about footy being the, not individuals, but 18. You have a look at Butler's game, and you have a look at Nick Hines' game, and you have a look at the smaller forwards in that group. They could not get near it, Tim, because they couldn't get the ball to ground in the area that they have been gobbling up teams in the past month.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Stewart was intercepting, Manigola was intercepting, Harry had King under control, so they just, you know, they either couldn't get it to that area and bring it to ground, or when they did, they were just massively outnumbered because the wingers were all pushing back and outnumbering the Saints. So there'd be a stack of learnings out of that. Hunter Clark, you know, was hurried, whereas he's looked composed in recent times. He looked hurried and harassed last night. Membry couldn't get involved. Caulfield, you know, looked a bit startled as well with some of the pressure. The big tick was Jack Bytel, a young man that played his first game. He looked really composed and comfortable enough in the middle of the ground.
Yeah, he's going to be a good kid, but they just couldn't get control around the stoppages to actually facilitate anything that they wanted to do last night. There was no area of the game that they were able to get on top of. And you talk about all those players in their forward line. They all come and participate in a meaningful way when the ball's getting there quickly, because that's the way they want to play, but that was stifled last night. And then when the ball did go in the opposite direction, then the defence wasn't able to settle themselves and play the way they wanted to, because they've been bombarded by a really powerful midfield of Geelong. So they had all bases covered last night. Adam's in Ocean Grove. He wants to join in the conversation this morning. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, boys. How are you? Hope you're well. Obviously, coming from a Geelong supporter here, so I've got a few questions. I'll just limit it to two, though. Manangola, is he the biggest give-up in terms of other clubs giving up of what a talent he was. Obviously, we in the 20th century, you can go back to Gary Ablett Senior, for God's sake, they gave him up at Hawks. But Menengola, you know, you've got obviously Kennedy. They knew how good Josh Kennedy was, giving him to West Coast, but obviously he's gone to a new level. But Menengola, I just can't believe how good Menengola is from being given up from two clubs like that. And now you could almost, I'm not saying Brownlow contention, but like the guy is so consistent. And then I'll give you the second question so I can probably just hang up. Tom Stewart, in terms of mature age recruit, what's going on with Geelong? Because him and Tim Kelly, I've never seen anyone come into the game at that age. And those two players, even Podsy Adley back in the day, I don't know, I can't think of other players that, not Podsy Adley as much, but Tim Kelly and Tom Stewart especially, they're to come into the game at that age and do what they're doing, it's almost flipping the draft on its head. I'd just love to know what you think, boys. Thanks.
Thanks, Adam. Adam, I can't talk about Menengola, so you're going to have to answer this question, Gary.
Well, you've been lucky, Adam, for a long, long time. You've had some of the great recruiters down there, and Stephen Wells and his group have done a fantastic job, and a few have fallen in your lap with Matty Scarlett coaching Tom Stewart down there in the, I don't know, I think it's South Barwon he played for or something. He said, I reckon this bloke should be on a senior list, so they went and put him on it, and he's a two-time All-Australian. So you're fortunate to have, not fortunate, you're, this is what Geelong do. They're a great footy club. They get the right people in the right jobs and make the right decisions, and that's why they've enjoyed so much success. Dave's in Mernda. G'day, Dave.
Yeah, morning, Gary. Morning, Tim. For starters, I'm just not too sure how many of us Saints are jumping on that bandwagon. I've been on that wagon when the wheels were falling off. But you could clearly see last night that it was boys versus men. You know, and just at the final, you know, execution, Saints couldn't execute that final kick when they did get it in their position or wherever, that they just couldn't execute that final one. It was as if they had gone out and just, you know, just took a lesson more from Geelong, so that way they can keep them going when they go forward. But, you know, out of that top four, they've still contended a few and beaten a few of those in that top four still.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with the Saints losing to Geelong in the manner that they did. It's how much you learn from it. But you're right, they will have played a style of footy, or have played a style of footy in the last month where they were forever being able to exit their back half, find a loose man, play on quickly, get it in quick to their forward line that was open and free. And it was a different game last night. They just didn't have any of that. They had no space. They had no free blokes to hit up. And when they went forward, they weren't kicking to one-on-one. They were kicking to two-on-four and three-on-five. So that's up to Brett Ratton now to get to work and to help change that.
Did he do enough last night, Brett Ratton, to try and change the course of the game, did you think?
He swung some changes in the end. It was interesting, Brad Hill, his comments on Brad Hill, that they didn't use him enough. Johnny Brown picked up on that really early, that he you know, was out running into areas that he normally would expect to get the footy. So he bemoaned the fact they didn't do that. He threw a few forward late, but I don't think you could have. There wasn't too much. So this was about sort of making a statement early in the piece, and by the time halfway through the third quarter, like 17 points at half time, and they had a 28-15 inside 50 advantage at half time, Wisp. So I guess at half time he's thinking, okay, if we can just get a better contest, get some ground ball inside our forward 50, and, you know, get Butler rolling, then we're a chance. But they got goals from centre bounces early in that third quarter, and it was all over.
Phil's in Bayswater. Good morning, Phil.
G'day, gents. Hope you're keeping well. Isn't it amazing when a coach coaches to the skill set of his team and you can tell they've got buy-in, like Freo, as opposed to Melbourne and Adelaide, which you can tell at the start didn't buy in and weren't adhering to what the coach is best brooking. He's done a great job, Justin Long. You can tell the guys are bought in. The young guys are actually playing to the skill set they've got. They can execute to the skill set, and it just works. So credit to him, because it's actually decent to watch. And yeah, Clarko, so well done.
He is, what is it that you like most about the way that he's coaching, Phil?
I think from my point of view, Tim, he's not asking guys to, from a skill set and execution. There's not the game like at Melbourne where I don't think they bought in and they were chipping and doing things that weren't aligned to their skill set, so there was a breakdown. They consistently execute over four quarters. So what they do is they stick fat, they maintain, and they keep to the drill. They don't waver from it, and you can tell a team buys in because they're doing it over four quarters, and there's no wavering of a quarter where they go away for 15 minutes and get burnt and get four or five goals put on them. They stick fat to the plan. They might get a couple, but geez, they stick fat for longer, which I don't think Adelaide and Melbourne did initially, and I think it holds him in good stead.
Now, it's a good observation, Phil. They've been a very, very consistent performer. They haven't won every game, obviously, but they've been in every game. Gary, they've been one of the more consistent teams across the four quarters this year.
Yeah, I think it's a great call from Phil. And again, we're on the Eastern Seaboard. I don't think we've got a great of appreciation of how much injuries hurt that team. And they still, as Phil said, they didn't get blasted. And now it's just starting to come together for them. I think Freo are in pretty good shape. And I read where Jesse Hogan may return as a defender, which I quite like. I might talk about that after we take a break, Wick.
Panch has got to you again.
The conversation starter is for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. We will explain more after the break.